Well done, my brother. Well done. Turn in your Old Testaments, please, to Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. Well, I got to tell you, this is pretty special for me. We have a lot of visitors in the audience. Thankful for your presence. And I've got some very dear friends of mine that are here. Scott and Sarah Line with their little daughter Sophie and the little baby boy that's on the way that I'm trying to talk them into naming Garrett. I'm just going to put as much pressure on them as I can. That's a great name too, isn't it? Huh? That's right, it is. It absolutely is. And maybe I can force them into it. I married those two. And they kept my streak alive. I hadn't had one divorce. They better not. I love them. And you know, Jason was here with his family last night. That's my buddy, Jason. And I'm thankful that he's here. I always love to be with those folks. And I love to be with all of y'all. Let me get started so we'll get done. But afterwards, I would like to say a few words about the church here and how much I love all of you guys. So, Psalm chapter 46. A well-known writer penned these words regarding the relevance of Psalm chapter 46. I got it on, brother. You got another one that works? Is it there you go. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. We've got to get our technical problems. See, what happened was I banged this thing down here one day and I tore it all up. Yeah. Anyway, okay. A well-known writer penned these words, and I want you to read them with me. We deny it. We fake it, we mask it, we try to ignore it, but the truth stubbornly persists. We are weak creatures. Being sinful, we fail. Being prone to sickness, we hurt. Being mortal, we ultimately die. Pressure wears on us. Anxiety gives us ulcers. People intimidate us. Criticism offends us. Disease scares us. Death haunts us. How can we continue to grow in this bag of bones covered with weaknesses too numerous to mention? We need a big dose of Psalms chapter 46. Martin Luther was a major figure in the Protestant Reformation, and this made him a target for those who did not like what he was doing. They didn't like what he was saying. And in the times when we would get discouraged and depressed in those times, he would say to the people of that day, "Come, let us sing the 46th psalm." The words of this psalm would give him strength, and the words would give him perspective. And that was something that he needed. We still sing Luther's psalm, his reflection of this psalm. We know it as "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, or a flood wall. Never failing." Psalms 46, ladies and gentlemen, is for times of weakness. It is for times when we feel life is out of control. Let me just ask you, have you felt before that life was out of control for you? It is there for us no matter what storm comes into our life. Some people believe Psalms 46 came from the time when the Assyrians surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Do you remember who the king was? It was Hezekiah, right? And the situation really looked grim. It looked hopeless. It was a horrible thing. But Hezekiah turned to the Lord, and the Lord delivered Jerusalem. During the night, I believe it was 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were killed by the hand of Jehovah. No military battle took place. He just took them out. Isaiah chapter 37, 2 Kings chapter 19. The Israelites understandably rejoiced at God's miraculous protection and God's miraculous provisions for them. And though the setting of the psalm is uncertain, the message of the psalm for me is timeless. And that is simply this: God, our refuge, can handle anything. I want you to read it with me, ladies and gentlemen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at
It's swelling. Start with the second part of those verses and work backwards, and what you're going to see is the power of what these words convey. What could possibly help us in an earthquake? What can you do when you're in an earthquake? What can you do when a tornado is whipping outside of your house? What in the world can you do when a hurricane is bearing down on Houston, Texas? There isn't anything that you can do. What do you do when a tsunami hits an island like the Philippines or Japan? What do you do? What do you do when a terrible flood takes over? Where do you find strength when someone you love is taken unexpectedly? Or you're having to live with a situation where your loved one is sick, they're dying. Where do you turn when the world starts to crash in around you? The answer is given in Psalm. And it's very clear. Our strength, our refuge, our help is only found where? It's only found in the Lord. The psalmist tells us that he is always ready and able to help at those times. There is never a time, ladies and gentlemen, where he will not come to your aid. The question is do you believe that? We cherish and confess these words. But I will tell you that many times we look for other places to find our refuge. Now, I tell you from personal experience, ladies and gentlemen, there are times whenever life is pretty rough. And you know, instead of turning to him, I'm trying to think of all the other ways that I can protect myself. Now, that's just the honest truth. We trust our financial security to help us out. We trust our physical strength. We trust our mastery of skills, our business acumen, or our ability to think quickly, or something like that. We trust our education. We trust our wisdom. You know, we think we've got a lot of smarts, don't we? We trust our associations, our friendships, the government, the military. There's a bunch of us that trust doctors. They think that doctors can do just about anything. We trust the goodness of others, our experience, our wisdom. And even in times of related storm issues, we trust the Doppler radar. Now, I got to tell you something. Back at home, they've got Click 2 News. I used to trust them, but I'm telling you, don't trust Click 2 News because they don't have a clue what's going on with them. Not a clue. It's much easier to trust what we can see than to trust the one who is unseen. Isn't that right? But the psalmist reminds us that the things of this world are all subject to the same threats we are. Only he who made the world is able to protect us from anything that comes our way. There isn't anything, ladies and gentlemen, that he cannot save us from. God not only will protect us from some things, he also protects us in some circumstances. The Lord is stronger than anything that the world can throw at us. Now, I'll tell you, this is easy for Steve Garrett to say. In my life, I think that. In my life, I can tell you that I believe that. But oftentimes, I question. He is our only true shelter. He is our only true refuge. You're going to notice in this passage the word Selah. Selah. That's an interlude. And what that means is that it's calling us to stop. Stop. And let the thought of that passage resonate in your mind. Okay? That's what that means. Just stop and think about what he's saying. Let that resonate. Give that some time. Let that bake. Okay? We stand in him secure. Psalms chapter 46, 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The picture now turns to Jerusalem. Okay? Jerusalem was called the city of God. The city of the Most High. And I want you to note the contrast drawn by the psalmist. All right, think about it. The nations are in chaos. All right, their kingdoms crumble. However, when God's voice speaks, what happens to the earth? The earth melts. When God speaks, things happen. God protects His people. That's just the way it is. Our Lord is in our midst. And if He is there, I can tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, we are secure. You got to believe that. When He's there, we're secure. Though the picture here speaks of Jerusalem, and I believe in the teaching of Scripture that Jerusalem does hold a special place in the heart of God. It's the new Jerusalem. It's the church. The psalm is not saying that we are secure only if we're in physical Jerusalem. Some people get confused about that. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in what was it, 586 BC the first time, and 70 AD the second time. In both of these times, the problem was is that the people of Jerusalem had forsaken the Lord and continued to forsake Him. The point is not that we are secure if we are in Jerusalem. The point is that we are secure if He is in us and if He is in our midst. That's when we're secure. We are part of His body. The church. The called out. That's where security is found. Because He's in our midst. Do you think He's here right now? Does Scripture teach that? Where two or more gathered together, what's Scripture say? He's there where? He's there with us. The God of the universe is here. If Scripture is true, He's here. Thought about that? Just for a minute. That's easy to say, it's hard to believe, isn't it? This is the lesson the disciples learned one night on the Sea of Galilee. Do you remember that story? They were going across the lake, and this horrible, wicked storm came up, like a hurricane came up. And even as experienced fishermen, they realized that they were losing the boat, folks. They were losing the battle. Their boat was sinking. Bad things were going to happen. And they were struggling to keep the waves from getting in the boat. And they were. I'm sure they had cans and whatever they could find to try to get the water out of the boat. And they couldn't believe the fact that Jesus was down underneath sleeping. And this made the disciples angry. What in the world is He thinking? How dare He sleep? We're just about to drown. This is it. It's over with, folks. And the Gospel of Mark says the disciples woke Him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown, for crying out loud?" We're told that Jesus woke up and He stood up. And this is all He said. "Quiet. Be still." Now, I want you to picture this in your mind for a minute, okay? Picture this in your mind for a minute. He stands up. The boat's rocking and carrying on. Everybody's seasick, okay? Boat's cracking up. It's an absolute nightmare, okay? All this is going on. They get down there and say, "What in the world are you doing? How can you sleep through this? We're about to drown." He stands up and He looks at them, and He says, "Quiet, be still." And the wind dies down, and the water becomes calm. Now imagine this scene and the expressions on the disciples' face. You move from panic and anger and fear to stunned silence. And today, somebody would have probably said, I don't know, this is what the young people say, and I find myself saying it a good bit. I think I'd have been standing there, and I'd have said, "Dude." Whoa. You know, it was a moment when the only appropriate response really was just to be silent and to stand in awe. Jesus looked at His disciples, and He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid?" And what is the point, folks? This is the point, okay? If you don't get anything out of this lesson at all this morning, I want all of y'all to cast your eyes on that screen right there, and this is the lesson that I want you to get. When the Son of God is in the boat, being in the boat is the safest place to be, and it don't matter what's going on around you. I want to be in that boat. And so this begs the question, if I'm not mistaken, how do we get into that thing? How do we enter into this refuge? How do we make sure that we're in the boat with the Son of God? How do we do that? And I think the Bible gives us that answer. We must recognize the futility of relying on our own strength and goodness. Ladies and gentlemen of Hillsboro, can you see that and get that? Can you see it? It didn't matter how much bailing was going on out of that boat. Didn't matter how much they were rowing and carrying on, because I'm sure they did. Were they any match for the ocean? Were they any match for the sea? Were they any match for a hurricane? And no matter how strong you think you are helpless before the bombs and the bullets of this world. You are helpless. What can you do with a nuclear explosion? You're helpless in terms of all the wicked and power crazy nuts that are out there right now in this world. And you can stand and you can shake your fist in defiance at them and say, I'm an American and I'm shaking my fist in defiance at you and all in the world you want to do. And you can do that same thing at a tornado while it's out there whipping around. And you can just be as angry as you and throw rocks at it if you want to. But I got to tell you something, you're no match for a tornado. No matter how strong you are, the circumstances of life, and it's happened to me, can knock you to the ground, can slap you in the head. And all it takes is a deadly germ. All it takes is an aggressive cancer. All it takes is a blood clot. Boom. All it takes is a devastating loss. How many women have had to suffer the loss of their children in their womb? All it takes is a moment of sleep behind the wheel. All it takes is the collapse of our financial markets. And our strength becomes as dust. We can't stand in our own strength. We can't stand in our own strength when the storms of life just hammer us. They assail us. We must see the barrier, ladies and gentlemen. We got to see the barrier. We got to see the barrier that exists between us and our God. That's what we really need to get our mind focused on. And what is that barrier? That barrier is sin. God has given us directions. He has given us commands. And for the most part, in many instances, we flat out ignore them. He has commanded us to honor Him. He has commanded us to trust Him. He has commanded us to obey Him. And instead, we've gone our own way. And we've done our own thing. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Instead of bowing humbly before Him, we have presumed to stand in judgment over Him. The wall between us and the Lord is one that has been built over the course of our lives. Now, let me illustrate that. Man alive, I got so wild with this thing, it come plumb off, didn't it? That's all right. Just yeah, we may have to get old Brian to come up here and make this thing work. Okay, I want to illustrate this to you. This hit me like a ton of bricks. There was a young man at Florida College who experienced something like this. The only difference is he died. Let me tell you the illustration. Imagine that there's a raging river. And all around the river, what you see is danger. No swimming. Do not swim in this river, because this river has undercurrents. It has rip currents. It will pull your body underneath the water, and it will render you helpless. And it doesn't matter how strong of a swimmer you are. And not only were signs posted, but there was warnings on the radio. There was warnings on the TV. There were signs. People all out there saying, don't get in the water. It's a hot day. It's a real hot day. It's humid. 100 degrees and 100% humidity. And you come to the river's edge and you don't care about what the signs say. You don't give a care in the world about what the warnings are or what the people standing there are saying. You want to swim and you're going to do what you want to do. Do like old Brother Lee used to tell me all the time. He said, you forget what I look like and everything else, but I want you to remember one thing. And he said, you tell brethren when you preach to them, we do what we want to do. Isn't that right? Pretty simple, isn't it? We do what we want to do. Well, that's what this young man did. And so he jumps into the water, and at first it's delightful, and he's having all kinds of fun, and that water is throwing him down that river like a roller coaster. And he's just getting all excited, and he's laughing, and he's taunting people all around him, and he's looking at folks up there on the bank and going, ha, 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 you could be out here with me, but you're missing out because you have been intimidated by the warnings. And as you swim further, you discover that suddenly you're in trouble. Big trouble. You become weak. You become lightheaded. And you realize you've been foolish. You're so weak you can't get to the shore. The current is pulling you under. That happened to a young man, and he perished. But that's not the way this story ends. Someone on the bank of the river throws you a lifeline. You grab the rope, and with all your might, you hang on for dear life. And you're brought to the shore and provided first aid, and they clear your lungs, and you're taken to the hospital, and you're recovered. The foolish swimmer represents me and you. God has warned us of the danger of ignoring His counsel, of ignoring His truth. He has told us that sin, and I will be the first one to tell you that sin, it can be very pleasurable, immensely pleasurable. But sin will kill you. But like the swimmer, so many times we trust our own desires instead of the Lord, don't we? I mean, there's signs all around us for crying out loud. There's people trying to talk to us and tell us, don't do that, don't do that. But we think it's more important to fit in. It's more important to be like the rest of the people. Wasn't that the problem with the Israelites? Well, they wanted a king, didn't they? Why did they want a king? Because everybody had a king. They didn't like the way God set it up. And they just cried and moaned about a king. Gotta have a king. Was a king good for them? Not so. Look, we've got to admit our rebellion. We have to hold on to the one God that sent to rescue us. Because that's the only way in the world that we're going to be rescued. Our rescuer is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you what. We're in the water. We're getting pulled under. He's on the bank, and he's throwing the lifeline at us. There's even a song about that, I think. Throw out the lifeline. Right? Maybe some of y'all remember. What's the lifeline? The lifeline is the blood of Christ. Listen, guys, I didn't make this up. This is not my story. This is Jehovah God. This is the way He does things, okay? He requires death. He requires blood. There has to be a sacrifice like that for you to overcome sin. You can't be in His presence unless you're holy. And the only way that you can be holy is some kind of way somebody's got to die. And Jesus did that for us. He threw out the lifeline. That's the blood of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it wonderful? He conquered the raging river of sin, and now He can help us be spiritually healthy again. He can do it. You've got to take hold of Christ. And I will tell you, that's not just about going to church. That's a command, and it's something we need to do. But it's about trusting and embracing and obeying and actually following Jesus Christ. Don't you see, folks? It's about allowing the Lord to live in you and to govern you. It's about submitting to Him. And if you do this, His promises will take up residence in your life. I'm telling you. And it will take up residence in my life. And then we will be able to rest in the promise of this song. That's the only way. When God inhabits the city, or the person, nothing can overcome. As long as you remain in Him, you can live without fear. You can live in great confidence. It's easy to say. And it takes a lifetime of study and desire to follow God to finally build up that kind of faith. But I'm telling you, he is there. Scripture tells us to rest in these truths. Psalm chapter 46, 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Glenn DeShales wrote a song using that passage. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will exalt in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, the image here is that of a battlefield, okay? And there are sunken ships. I always think of Pearl Harbor when I think of this passage. Bombed out buildings, there's dead bodies littering the ground. They're everywhere. There's fires burning in buildings, and all of this is going on without resistance. It's a picture of devastation. It's a picture of destruction. It's a terrible thing. Military people see this all the time. And I'm sad to say that even on TV, sometimes we see it. But in this stanza, the cause of devastation is the Lord himself. I want you to see that. The Lord has caused this devastation. The picture is that there is a coming day when the Lord of life will stand and he will squash the rebellion. He's going to do it. He's going to squash the rebellion that's been taking place here against him. Not only will the armies be defeated and the corrupt systems of government and all the evil will be defeated, but I will tell you something else. Disease will be gone. Won't it be great to be able to live with no disease, no cancer, no MD Anderson, no painful loss will be over with. Foolish pursuits will be given away to productive living. That's what I want to see. Deception will be replaced by truth. Death will be replaced by life. Rebellion will be replaced by worship. That's the way it's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. So in verse 10 we read, "Be still and know that I am God." And this is spoken to the storms that threaten our lives. This is spoken to the evil that dogs our steps all the time. Don't tell me it doesn't dog your steps. I know it does. It dogs me. But it's spoken to our hearts. In the times of crisis, we can either run around like a bunch of fanatics and be in panic, or we can rest confidently in the strength of the Lord. Let me tell you something. There has been many times that I felt like that I have been in a boat in the middle of the ocean and the thing's cracking up on me. I will tell you that I have been in a shrimp boat in the Gulf of Mexico about 75 miles off of the shore. I couldn't see the shore. That's a bad thing. And the waves and the wind was carrying on and lightning, and I looked down overboard and there was big sharks down there. Let me tell you something. I was scared out of my mind. I can only imagine if Jesus had been there and stood up and said, "Quiet, be still." Wow. Are storm clouds circling your life? Do things seem to be falling apart around you? We face a choice. You can battle in your own strength, and you can lose every time. Well, maybe this one time or that time you won't lose too much, but ultimately you're going to lose. Or you can run to the one who provides refuge and strength. And the question is God with you? I remember whenever Muff and I got married, a little Manly at the time, he was this little fella. Anyway, we had this book where people would come over and you'd sign the book and everything. Little old Manly, I don't know, he's about 7 years old or something. He wrote in the book, "Let God help you." Well, is God with you? Have you surrendered to the one who alone can save you? If you haven't, I urge you to do this. But while there's still time, why in the world would you put this off? Why would you not want to do this thing? Why? He's not going to protect you unless you take refuge in him, unless you submit to him. You cannot take refuge in him apart from putting your trust and your life in Jesus without obeying Him, without submitting to Him. You've got to submit to Him. You can't take refuge in Him apart from the trust that you've got to have in Him. You may think it's too late. Many people do. They say, well, it's too late for me, Steve. Too many bad things have happened. Again, I can't get there with it. But as long as you have breath in your body, I'm here to tell you something, it's not too late. Not on time's side of eternity. Maybe you think it'd be better to wait a while and turn to Him later on or something like that. To say this is to show that you don't understand the invitation to salvation. You don't get it. It's really very simple. This isn't a sentence. It's not a punishment. It is a doorway to peace. It's a doorway to life. It's a doorway to a relationship with God. And that surpasses any of the trinkets or the stuff that this life has to offer. Don't you see? When God is your refuge, there is no longer anything to fear. Including death. You know what? You're going to think I'm crazy. But I actually think death is a gift from God. Oh, I've seen many times in hospitals people suffer. Loved ones all ate up with something. Children in terrible pain. That's all caused by sin, but let me tell you something. God gave us death. What we don't understand is what we can't see. I believe it's a gift. You don't have a relationship with God, all I can tell you is don't put it off. I know where you are. You're just in a mess. It's a storm. It looks like there's no hope. I'll tell you what you need to do is cry out to Him. Repent of living like the world. And just obey Him. It's really simple. The gospel invitation is just as simple. Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the King, the Messiah. He died on the cross for it. Wait, that's not a stretch to believe that. For crying out loud, you can go to the history books and see that He lived. Repent of your sins. Okay? All in the world that means is make your own mind up that you are not going to live in the direction you've been living. And turn, Christians, the same applies to you. If you need to repent, repent. Get your life right. Start straighten up. And get somebody to friend with you to help you. Confess His name. We should be doing that every day. How difficult is that? I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's absolute truth. Well, why would you shy away from something like that? Confess His name. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And be baptized for the remission of sin. Can somebody please explain to me why that is such a big deal? Don't y'all like to swim? When it gets hot out here and it's humid and everything, why is it that people have a problem with that? You're going to get wet. You take a shower every day. I hope you do. You got a bath at home? Please take a bath. Listen to me, folks. This is not difficult. All He said was to be immersed. Now, you want me to tell you what the picture of that is? You go to Romans chapter 6 and you can see the picture. What He wants you to do is die to this life because you love Him, because you've submitted yourself to Him, because you realize what He's done for you. You submit yourself. You die to this old life of folly and sin. And that what the song says? You die to that. You're buried. You die, you're buried. You're buried in water. Okay? Raised up in a new life. The Ethiopian eunuch understood it. He said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me? Why am I being hindered? But the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, okay, he called himself the worst of sinners. Ananias said to him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How difficult can it be? Okay? Why did people have such a hard time with that? And let me tell you something. For those of y'all that think that's a work, you're just nuttier than a fruitcake. There ain't no work to that. That's just endorsing the check. That's just submitting to the Lord. That's just obeying Him because you love Him. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to live miserably in this life? You say, well, Steve, Christians have to deal with a whole lot of misery. Yeah, but let me tell you something. The Father in heaven is by their side. You want it that way or you want it the other way? You make the call. You make the call now.